Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:57 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is May 9th. Well, there were two important points that really came through in here today. The first was oil was up over $2, so breaking conclusively up out of this short-term range, which had been really quite narrow, and reasserting the medium-term uptrend. Of course, we know why that is because President Trump withdrew from the Iran nuclear deal yesterday, and that raises the potential that some of Iran's oil is going to be at least inhibited from coming onto the market because US sanctions will be reimposed, and then, of course, there will be repercussions for any companies that do business both with the USA and with Iran in that event. So it does represent a challenge for supply coming to market. And of course, we are still in a backwardation situation for the oil market as well. So there is a short-term supply deficit. There is also a short-term overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and the pace of the advance for oil has picked up. Generally speaking, when we think about what are the lead indicators for recessions, well, we can look at things like unemployment data starting to turn upwards. We can look at the high yield spreads that usually break out well in advance and have been trending higher for a while before you get a contraction in the economy. And indeed, you look at the yield curve spread, which would generally be negative. But the fourth one is surging oil prices, and the pace of the advance has picked up. Now, this is not the kind of surging oil price environment that we had back in 2008, where the price went very quickly from approximately $85 at the beginning of or towards the end of January in 2008 to $146 by July. So that was a very impressive advance. And we had a big advance too in 2011, and certainly we had a bit of a wobble in stock markets back then too. In the event that we do see prices back at $100 in very short order, well, that is going to start to weigh on economies of consumers. And obviously, when we think about it in those terms, then there is a risk. But at the same time, we do have a backwardation situation because of supply inelasticity, which has been induced by OPEC and Russia together. But global economies have been doing better, and they are still well, they're still doing better, but they're not surprising on the upside any longer. In fact, the expectations for that economists have for economic potential have run ahead of the actual economic data, and that has contributed to some of these surprise indicators turning around. That it was, and thanks to a subscriber for alerting me to some of those indices, which I don't look at particularly often, that are in the chart library, that the Eurozone's economic surprise index has been going down for a while. And if we look at the Euro index, which is at a trade-weighted index, we can see that the euro is now right back in the region of the trend mean. But what I think is perhaps more important is to look at this on a somewhat longer time scale. I'm just going to put up a different trade-weighted index, and we get more back data. But there's a very clear progression of lower rally highs for the euro trade-weighted index since at the middle of 2008. And we are now back in the region of that progression of lower rally highs. It's a natural area where one might anticipate that the euro would begin to lose momentum. There have been some very impressive rallies in the context of what has been an almost 10-year downtrend, but as long as the progression of lower rally highs and or lower major rally highs remains in place, then there is a downward bias to trading. And if the euro fails at the region of the trend mean, well, then that will begin to lend weight to the potential that we are back in a supply-dominated environment. So this is, I think, a very important area for the euro. When we look at it versus the dollar, then It has been down almost on consecutive days, and it is in the re it is now well below the trend mean already, and it really does need to sustain a move back above 120 to reconfirm demand dominance. But when we think about the fact that the Eurozone's economy is still expanding, but it is not expanding at the rate that economists were anticipating, and then we look at what's going on in Italy, where there is the real potential for a Eurosceptic government to take power. Well, there is obviously, I think, some potential here for volatility on the currency front. But if the currency goes down, then generally that becomes rather beneficial for exporters. And the DAX index has bounced from the 12,000 area, and that was also an area of resistance back in 2015. It's now an area of support. As long as it's trading above that, I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Then we look at the Mittelstand, or the MDAX, and it is bouncing from the 25,000 level. By and large, it has been the mid caps have been outperforming in no uncertain terms over the course of the last decade. And when we look at the FTSE 250, which is the UK's mid cap index, it doesn't look all that different from the MDAX. So there is a high degree of commonality when we look at these mid cap indices. When then we look at, for example, the Russell, it also has bounced from the region of the trend mean, and it is back in the region of the upper side of its range. And in the event that it breaks up out of this range, well, that will represent a bullish characteristic for Wall Street generally. It was a pretty positive day on Wall Street. The S&P 500 was up in back testing this 25. Sorry, 2700 point level, and this represents the region of the most recent lower rally high. If it can sustain a move back above 2700 points, well, then I think people are going to become a little bit more bullish, and the Nasdaq has pushed on to a new recovery high. It's pushed above the peak that we saw in April, and again, this is pretty impressive. This is a pretty impressive rebound. Then Google has bounced from $1,000. It has had one of the most consistent trends of any share over the course of the period from the 2008 lows. But it lost some consistency with that $200 pullback from the peak in early February. So it really did need to bounce from this $1,000 level, and so far this is doing exactly what it needed to do to reconfirm demand dominance. What we see in any medium-term corrective phase is that commonality breaks down, and you do get varying performances from different sectors. What I think is quite important is that the banking sector is giving us evidence that it's bouncing from the region of the trend mean. When we look at that in the European banks, then they have not yet pushed back above the trend mean. So there is still certainly work to be done among the European banking sector. But unfortunately, Europe still has these big questions that are outstanding. And I think that that is probably going to weigh on the ability of the ECB to fully taper its quantitative easing program. And if they, in fact, pull back from that, well, that's probably going to represent a catalyst for, I think, the euro to depreciate, and that should act as a tailwind for the European stock markets generally. The Italian index has been among the best performers over the course of the last year, and it was in positive territory today, unwinding some of the decline that it put in yesterday. And as long as the euro is going down, then that's likely to act as a tailwind there. Then when we look at what's going on in Japan, well, the yen is at 109.73, and this was a pretty impressive day for the dollar, where The consolidation we've seen over the last 2 weeks has been pretty mild. If it can sustain a move back above 110, well, then we will have confirmation of a low of more than short-term significance. This is right in the region of the trend mean. There were occasions during that range in 2017 where it dipped below 110, but it always pushed right back above it. And this is certainly a bigger dip. But if the dollar starts trading back above 110, that is likely to act as a tailwind for the stock market. And the Nikkei has bounced from that 20,000, well, above the 20,000 level, and there is a somewhat of a short-term overbought condition, but importantly, it is back above the trend mean. It does have room in which to consolidate and still hold that move back above the trend mean. The pause on the second section index is contributing to, I think, at least some worry that this process of consolidation that we've seen so far in Japan could last a while longer. As long as the second section though is continuing to trade above that 7,000 level, I'm willing to be reasonably sanguine about the outlook for the Japanese market. And then you've got the TOPIX Banks Index, which bounced pretty impressively last month, and it is now right in the region of the trend mean. I really do think that there is potential for this index to sustain a move above 200. If it does that, then I think we are back in a reasonably demand-dominated environment. There was a chart that I pulled, I think it was, I can't exactly remember where, in here today. And what it was the Japan's cash earnings from labor year over year. And it was actually at a new high. So we know that Japan has got an environment where they don't have enough workers for the amount of work that needs to be done, and that labor force participation has been trending higher for a while already, and wages have been largely static for what must feel like forever. But it does suggest that if earnings are pushing higher, that people are either working longer or they're demanding more money. And if we do get a return to an inflationary environment for the Japanese economy, then it is the banking sector will benefit probably more than just about anything other than real estate. So that is, I think, something to certainly bear in mind. The gold market today was pretty much unchanged. It has been hovering here around $1,300, and that's considering just how firm the dollar has been. That is exhibiting a reasonable relative strength, particularly relative to other currencies. But when we look at the chart for the 10-year treasury, it's pushing back above the 3% level today. Again, this has been a very tight consolidation. We have had a distinct absence of volatility. The last time we saw anything close to this kind of tight consolidation was back in November and December. And I think that this is still an environment where we're likely to see higher yields. The reality is that the US government has got an awful lot of debt that needs to be refinanced, and it looks increasingly likely that investors are going to demand a higher yield in order to accept that additional supply that's coming to the market. And that suggests that when we look at the very long term, then we do have potential here for a breakout of this 7-year range, that we have not seen yields above the 3% level on a sustained basis since 2011. And the interest rate environment is going in the opposite direction now than it was then. So when we think about it in those terms, there is real potential for this base formation to be completed. When we look at that on a really long-term basis, there is a clear loss of momentum evident over the course of the last 7 years. And if we start to see the yield pushing above the 3% level, well, then we can categorically say that the progression of lower rally highs, evident since at least 2006 has been broken. It really won't be until we see the yield back above 5% that we can really talk about the very, very long-term trend having been conclusively broken. But of course, that would represent an almost doubling of the yield from where it is today. I think that is already starting to be too late before you can draw a real conclusion. We already have evidence of base formation, and we are pressuring the upper side of an important range. This has been a particularly inconsistent downtrend. The only thing that we could say is that there have been lower major rally highs. And now the question is, are we going to get a major new high that's higher than the last one? That higher high would break the downtrend. It wouldn't perhaps be absolutely conclusive, but it's probably going to be enough for a lot of people to confirm that we're probably coming to an end from what has been one of the most epic long-term bull markets in history. And that is going to have knock-on effects for just about all asset classes. And of course, that is also symptomatic of what we see within a medium-term correction, that there is a change of leadership and that there is different sectors start to do better. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.